بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, Alhamdulillah, in tonight's Taraweeh Salah we commenced with the 15th Juz, which begins with Surah Bani Israel, which is more commonly known as Suratul Isra, that surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the miraculous journey of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam from Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Makkah Mukarrama to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Palestine. And thereafter the miraculous journey of Mi'raj, when Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam went into the heavens. The details of this particular incident are well known. Just before the month of Ramadan, at the end of Rajab, we would have heard the discussion on the Isra and the Mi'raj. But one point to take note of in the opening verse of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he addresses Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Allah says, glory be to that being who took his slave, his servant, on a journey by night. So here Mufassirin have mentioned two reasons for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam by this term, this quality of being an abd, a slave, a servant. Whereas we would have thought that here Allah is praising Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he is speaking of this miraculous journey. So perhaps a more befitting term would have been to say Rasulillah, Nabiyillah, or Khayri Khalqillah, the best of Allah's creation, the chosen one of Allah. But here Allah uses the term slave, abd. So the first reason Mufassirin have mentioned is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us that no matter what height Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam may reach, and similarly any other person in this world, some pious person, some buzruq, whether it be a sahabi, a tabi'i, whoever it may be, no matter what height a person may reach in this world, as far as his ibadat is concerned, his devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, but there will always be a clear line between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his creation. No creation of his can ever be equated to him. And that is why the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he would mention, that لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم. He would tell the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that when you wish to address me or you wish to speak about me, then do not exaggerate my praise as the Nasara did with Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. That because of their extreme love for him and because of them recognizing his greatness and his position, but they exceeded the bounds, they made ghulu, they transgressed, and they then equated him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salam would say, فَقُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. When you want to address me or you want to speak about me to somebody, then use the term عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ, the slave of Allah and his messenger. Of course, this was the humility of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But a great lesson is being taught to us that do not make ghulu, do not exaggerate, and do not exceed the limit. So this is the first reason mentioned. And the second reason that Mufassirin have given is that this is, or these few verses and ayat, is what is known in Arabic as maqamul madh, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking in a praiseworthy and positive note. And generally, according to the usul and the laws laid down by Mufassirin, when the verses of maqamul madh come, then any term, any quality, any characteristic that is placed within those verses will also be praiseworthy. So because the address is a praiseworthy address, a positive address, the characteristics and qualities that are mentioned in that address will also be praiseworthy. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, or drawing our attention to the fact that this position of abdiyat, of slavery, of servitude, is a praiseworthy position. Although in dunya, when it comes to this particular quality of slavery, then this is something which is looked down upon. It is not something that a person boasts about or a person desires. But when this abdiyat is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person will develop servitude and slavery and submission before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is the highest and the most loftiest attribute that a person can have. So here Allah is telling us that this maqam-e abdiyat, this position of slavery, of servitude, is something that each and every one of us should strive to attain. And this is really that position which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had achieved on this particular journey and throughout his life. So this was the opening verse of Suratul Isra, Surah Bani Israel. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a quality that is found within insan, a characteristic which by default many people have this within them, is that وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. Allah says many a time, insan, this human being, curses himself, he makes bad dua for himself, just as he asks for goodness for himself. What does this mean? So they explain that many a times a person, perhaps he has had a long day at work, he is frustrated, things are just not working out for him, he's tired, perhaps it's a hot day, he comes home, and the situation is such, on days like that also the children will misbehave even more. So the child comes in front of him, how many a times without thinking a person says, I wish I don't have to see you, or I don't want to deal with you, I wish you weren't here right now. Likewise, the woman folk also many a times, very quickly these curses come upon our tongues. So here Allah says that this is the quality of insan, that yadrul insanu bishar, that a person calls out for evil, or he curses himself, he makes bad dua for himself, as he makes dua of goodness for himself. And then Allah gives the reason, that وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. The reason for this is man by nature is very hasty. He does not normally do things with thought, with deliberation. And therefore, the solution to this problem is also given. That if a person wants to save himself from this, he doesn't want to curse himself, his family, then he should develop this quality of deliberation within himself. Al-anatu min Allah wal-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. Nabi alayhi salam had mentioned that when a person does things following due process, he thinks about it, he ponders, he reflects, he consults the people who are in that field, and then only he makes a decision, whatever decision it may be, then this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a blessing, a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. And a person who is hasty, he doesn't think, he doesn't ponder, he doesn't reflect, he's quick to say things, quick to make decisions, or to pass judgment, then this is from shaitan. Why? Because this will cause a person a great amount of harm and a great amount of regret. So this particular quality of insan is mentioned. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his system when it comes to the destruction of any nation, any group of people. And here a yardstick is given to us that if any nation, any group of people want to understand what is their position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how close or how far away are they from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in these verses Allah mentions, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَنُّهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً. When we desire, when we intend destroying any nation, any group of people, أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا. Allah says, first we will command the wealthy ones from that community or from that town with our obedience. We will send commands of our obedience to them that these are the things you should do. فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. But because these people have been deluded by their wealth and they have moved away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَسَقُوا فِيهَا. Most of the time they will then break these commands. And then فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلِ. This will make them worthy and deserving of our punishment. فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. Then we will completely wipe out and destroy that nation or that group of people. So this is the yardstick or the measuring stick that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, that if a community, a society, a group of people want to understand how close or how far they are from the punishment of Allah, then those who are wealthy, those who have been blessed, and really we should ask ourselves, if we have a place to call home, we have vehicles, some means of transport, we don't have to worry about the next meal, we have a soft bed to sleep on, as far as our health is concerned, there are no major issues, then we are living above average. We are living perhaps in the top 20 or 30%, especially when it comes to our country, the poverty, we know. So those people who have been blessed with some ni'mat, some bounty of wealth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should gauge and see how close are we to obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to our functions, our weddings, our walimas, when it comes to our business dealings, when it comes to our masajid, are our masajid full outside of the month of Ramadan, especially Fajr time, Asr time. So this is the measuring stick by which a community or a group of people will understand how close they are to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are just a few lessons from Surah Al-Isra. One last lesson and we'll terminate. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Ashabul Kahf, that group of youngsters who were living in an environment that was not conducive to their deen, to their iman, and the steps that they took to protect their iman. So one point that is mentioned and one point that we can take lesson from is these were youngsters, the odds were against them. The leader of the time was such, he was a corrupt person. The people of that time and the things that they were practicing were not conducive to deen, to iman. But here Allah says that what caused Allah's help and assistance to come to them? وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ. Allah says when you made the decision to distance yourself from that environment that was not good for you, then Allah's command came, فَأُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِي. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go to the cave, and your Rabb will send down His mercy for you. وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. And He will create ease for you. In other words, the lesson is being given to us that when a person, many a times we complain, the environment is very harsh, the challenges are there against our iman, how do we protect our taqwa, our a'mal? So here Allah is giving us the solution that we have to make a concerted effort. We cannot just remain on the back foot and say things are going against us, but we have to make that effort to remove ourselves. And if we can't do that, then change the environment, create an environment that is conducive for iman. We speak about the challenges facing our children. So create that environment within the home where we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'aleem is made. They hear the stories of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When it comes to our working environment, we can put forward those requests that will make it slightly easier for our deen, for our iman. Of course, it is difficult. There are challenges. Everything is not going to be perfect. But when a person makes some effort, he takes the first step, then experience has shown that many a times people who took that first step, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created ease for them. From where and where, what plan Allah made for them, where they didn't have to fall into guna and sin. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.